All right. Well, good morning, church. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We praise the Lord for the beautiful day that He's given to us today. Thank you for joining with us here on Facebook Live once again this Sunday. And although we can look at all the bad things that's going around today, it is a blessing that God has given us technology that we're able to still reach you during this time. And I want to thank each one of you for being faithful to this. You've been sharing it with your friends. You've been sharing it with your family. And I've heard stories about how people that's never been to this church, that hadn't been in church in 10 years, they're starting to watch it. So I thank you so much for sharing it and for praying about that. Many of you have done great evangelism during this time by sharing it there on your Facebook page. So we appreciate that. And we just do our best to serve God right here where we are. I just told the people in here today that this first Sunday in May is Monica and I's two-year anniversary of being here at Hardin Community Baptist Church. We came the first Sunday in May in 2018. And for some of you that were here, that's a service that we'll probably never forget. Some of you remember that. You remember what happened in that? Yeah. It was a challenge as soon as I got here. But anyway, that first Sunday we were here, I think we had about 85 people here in the church. And now 2 years later, we've got about 10 people in the church. So God's really using us, Monica. We're good. We've decreased 75 people since we've been here for 2 years. But it's good to have y'all here this morning. We've got right at 10 people here today. And I'm blessed with that. They're able to come and serve the Lord and use their gifts to do that. But I thank you for joining in Facebook this morning. And we're going to go ahead and get started with worship today. I know I've had a lot of questions that's come about next Sunday. And we'll talk about next Sunday at the end of today. So you got to wait until the end of the service to hear about that. But right where you are, it is our prayer that God will bless you. God will meet with you right where you are. I don't know about you today, but I need to meet with God. I need some help today from God, and I believe right where you are, what's so good about God is God's never been confined to one place. He's an omnipresent God. He can meet with us right here, and He can meet with you right where you are in your house. And that is our prayer this morning, that right where you are, God will meet with you. So musicians, you can go ahead and make your way forward. We're going to pray, and if you could, right where you are this morning, pray that God would meet with you and that the devil would not be a hindrance to our service today. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for the sun that's shining today. Thank you for the beautiful weather you've given to us, Lord. But we thank you for this building that we can come and worship today, Lord. And although it's different, we want to thank you that you're a God that's the same. So, Lord, we just want to worship you today. We want to please you today. And everything that we do, God, we just want to praise you. You're such a God that is worthy of all that. So, God, today we just want to give all that we have to you. I pray for each person that's at home. That is listening, God, I pray that you would soften their hearts. I pray that you would open their hearts to receive your worship, to receive your presence, and to receive your word today. And God, most of all, we pray that if there's just one person listening that doesn't know that if they died today, they'd be in heaven. I pray that today they'd make it sure with you and they'd receive Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we love you today. You're so worthy. So we just desire to worship you today. We love you and we praise you. And all this we ask in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. From all alone.
to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning,
safe and secure from all alarms.
Well, wasn't it great to hear Lynn on the banjo again?
Amen.
Well, let's give him a hand. And also, this anniversary thing. We need to give the pastor a hand. So everybody at home and everybody here, let's give the pastor,
Amen.
Monica, a good old hand. Here we go.
Amen.
Makes you feel like you're back at church, doesn't it? My life is in you, Lord.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord.
Darkness, your loving kindness.
Jesus Christ is our living hope. If you could turn me down just a little bit. Is that better? Is that good? All right, cool. All righty. Well, let's get started this morning with our text. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. If you're a person that takes notes in your Bible, you write in your Bible, you'll probably see that Justin has preached here a few times before. If there's something, if there's a story in the Old Testament that, man, that always encourages me, that always helps me when I'm discouraged, is to read about Hannah. Hannah is somebody that I love to study about and how God intervened into her life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look a little bit at Hannah and see the life that she lived and what she was going through here in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Let me give you a little background here. Hannah is married to a man named Elkanah. Elkanah is a very good man. Elkanah is a godly man. He worships the God that we serve. But Elkanah has two wives. Somebody say, God bless him. Amen. Elkanah has two wives, Peninnah and a woman named Hannah. They go to worship God every single year in a place called Shiloh, because that's the center of worship where the tabernacle was. And this year they go to Shiloh, and Hannah's having a lot of trouble. Hannah has really come to her wits' end here, and this is basically where we're going to pick up. They're trying to worship God, and Hannah is at a very low point in her life right now. Verse number 8, 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Today, for the next few minutes, I want to introduce to you a woman named Hannah. We don't know how old Hannah is in chapter 1, but we come to a point in her life where Hannah has had just about all she can handle. Hannah has had it up to here. She is just completely done with her circumstances. Her circumstances have drained her. You say, why is that? Because the Bible tells us that Hannah could not have a child. The other woman, Peninnah, had plenty of children, but Hannah could not have children. The Bible says the Lord had shut up her womb. And in those days, to not have a child as a woman meant you were going to be an outcast in society. For the thought of that day in the Old Testament and a little bit in the New Testament was, if you couldn't have a child as a woman, God was judging you because you had sinned. That was your fault that you couldn't have a child. God was basically punishing you for that. And you can imagine, as most women do growing up, they dream about being a mother. Hannah has dreamed about being a mother, but she comes to the place where no matter how hard she tries, no matter how hard she prays, she just can't have a child. So here is Hannah, and on top of all of that that she's going through on the inside, verse 7 says she's got people that are making fun of her. She's got people on the outside. She can't even go to the house of God without people pointing at her, pointing her out, and calling her out. And that's a sad state to be in, when you can't even go to God's house without being made fun of or called out for something that you can't control. So not only Hannah is dealing with inside emotional struggles, Hannah is also dealing with the talks of people around her. So she's got outside and inside struggles. We come to a very pivotal moment in Hannah's life in chapter 1. And Hannah is here dealing with something that you and I know all too well. A little word called worry. Worry. Charles Stanley, of course, the pastor at First Baptist Church in Atlanta, about 20, 25 years ago, he took a poll at his church about the top emotional struggles that his church deals with. The top three emotional struggles that they deal with. Number 3 was anger. We can understand that, can't we? Number 2 was fear, but of course, number 1, we all know, was worry. And I can tell you what, if I were to take a poll of our congregation, what was the top struggle that we deal with emotionally, it would probably be worry. It'd be the same thing. Nothing's changed in 20, 25 years, even here. But I want to tell you something dangerous about worry. Worry affects us mentally. We all know that. First place that it goes is in the mind. Worry affects us emotionally. It also affects us spiritually. But did you know worry affects us physically? There's a lot of doctors that can tell you people are laying in a hospital bed this morning because worry has absolutely wrecked their body. It's made an effect on their body. People are in hospitals today because of the effects of mental anxiety and worry. We all, most of us know at least a little bit what that's like. Now, what is worry? I'll define it for you. Worry is a state of uncertainty over actual or potential problems. A state of uncertainty when you're not sure of something. Listen, let me tell you something. When Justin's not sure what's going to happen, I get worried. When you have the doctor say, come back next week and we'll see the results, you just want to know the results, right? What makes you worry is you don't know the results. So when you don't know something, we naturally are going to get worried. But let me say this. That definition said uncertainty over actual problems or potential problems. You know what I like to call that? A bad case of the what ifs. Justin, in the next 5 minutes, could work myself into a panic attack. And y'all be able to watch it. Because I could say, hold on now, what if this happens on my way home? What if this happens to my wife? What if this happens to my unborn child? What if this happens to this church? What if this happens to me? What if this happens to my family? And Justin, just off the wall, in 5 minutes, I could have a total panic attack based on the what ifs. You know what a good cure for the what ifs is? Is to realize our God is in control no matter what if. Amen. Our God is sovereign and in control no matter the what ifs. But if you're like me, let's get back to that. You wake up, if you're worried about something, what's the first thing on your mind? That thing that you're worried about. And man, you even try to go to work and get away from it, but even at work you can't get rid of what's in your mind. You're still worried about it. And you're thinking, man, at least I can just lay in the bed tonight, go to sleep, I won't have to worry about it. But the last thing you think about before your eyes close and you go to sleep is that thing you're worried about. And the next moment you wake up is the first thought in your mind. It is a miserable existence, isn't it? To be worried about something. It leaves us absolutely miserable. So you know what? Every single one of us, at least to a small degree, can have compassion with Hannah in chapter 1. Because we know exactly what is going on and we've been in her shoes before. Now, that's the bad news today. I was reading this, and I've preached this message since 2016, actually. And when I read it back about 4 years ago, something amazing happened in Hannah's life in this text. The Bible says she was filled with grief, she was bitter, she was sorrowful. But then verse 18 says something happened and she was just no more sad any longer. You see, Hannah was at rock bottom almost. She was at her wit's end, and the Bible says she went to pray unto the Lord. And by the time she finished her prayer, I want you to keep in mind, there ain't nothing changed about her life. She still doesn't have a child. Her circumstances are still the same. She still has enemies talking about her. But something on the inside of Hannah has changed to where the Bible says in verse 18, she was no longer sad. What happened to Hannah? You know, when I was reading this 4 years ago, I literally said out loud, I said, God, something happened to Hannah that passes my understanding. And the moment I said that, the Holy Spirit flipped my mind to Philippians 4. God says, here's what I'll tell you happened to Hannah. Paul said, be careful or anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen to this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And God said, that's exactly what happened to Hannah. She came to me and she prayed, and the peace of God just flooded her in a way that does not make sense. That's what happened to Hannah. She inherited a little word called peace. Did you know the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit? In other words, these words aren't just Paul's words, they're God's words. And when God said, the peace that I give passes all understanding, that means he couldn't even come up with a word to describe his peace. It doesn't make sense. It literally passes all understanding. And if you're listening today, no matter where you are, and worry has consumed your life, I'm here to tell you it makes you miserable. It makes us miserable. There's one thing you're longing for. And it's a little word called peace. Because if you've experienced peace before, you say, I just want that again. Let me say this about peace. Peace doesn't change your circumstances on the outside. It has nothing to do with it. Peace changes you on the inside to deal with that what is happening on the outside. Did you know you can have peace in hard times and good times? You say, everybody has peace when everything's good. But when bad times come, God says, I can still give you that peace that you want. Even in the midst of that. So if I were to ask you today in your homes, how many of you want peace? I can guarantee you every single one of us would raise our hand. All of us desire for peace. And you know what's good about it? The Holy Bible, God's inspired Word, tells us exactly how we can find peace. And can I tell you something this morning, church? I am 100% totally convinced, convicted of this, that the fact that whatever you're going through, I don't know what it is, but God does. Whatever you're going through, this works for every single person and for every situation. God can give you peace, no matter what you're going through. Paul tells us how in Philippians 4. Now let me tell you, if you're longing for peace today, I'm going to give you two things. That if you will do these and trust God with them, you'll find the peace of God, because that is the promise of God. Number one, if you want peace today, you've got to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Philippians 4:6, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. You know what that's saying? Paul said, pray about everything. Don't just pray about the church stuff. Don't just pray about your spiritual stuff. Pray about everything. Whatever you are cared about, whatever you are concerned about, go to God and pray about it. Everybody will tell you one of the most dangerous things you can do is keep your stuff on the inside. Keep it bottled up. Now let me tell you what that doesn't mean. Go put everything about you on Facebook. But you know what it does mean? Find you a secret place and tell God about it. That's what it means. Pray about everything you're concerned about. You say, why do I need to pray about everything? Because peace and worry cannot mix. You cannot have peace and worry at the same time. The word peace means together. When you are at peace with someone, you're together with someone. What's interesting is if you study the word behind the word worry or anxious or anxiety, you know what it means? Pulled apart. It means to be pulled apart. So peace means worry. Peace means together. Worry means pulled apart. You know, what I like to do a lot of the time when something happens in my life, a problem comes up, and man, when everything's good, I've got peace with God. I'm together with God. Everything's good. But when a problem comes up, it tries to rip in between that peace that I have with God. And I like to do what Hannah did most of the time. I like to take my problem and hold on to it as hard as I can, till it begins nearly to grip the life out of me. And just a small illustration here. When you're holding on to something, you can't have peace with God. You can't go together with God. Peace and worry do not mix. And you know, church, it's our choice. It is up to us whether we're going to worry about something or trust God with it. God leaves that up to us. Whether we're going to worry about it or trust Him with it. Now let me say this. You and I carry around a lot of things God never intended for us to carry around. It's our nature. But God says, I never intended for you to bear that burden. I will. You know what the Bible says? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All of it. Not just some of it. Cast all of it upon Him. Because I can tell you, and everybody can tell you from experience, when you've got a weight of worry on you, you can't enjoy the life God gave you to enjoy. You know, God gave us life to enjoy it. And when you're worried about something constantly, you are not doing what God has called you to do, enjoy life. It keeps us from enjoying the days that God has given us. You say, well, how do I just let it go and give it to God? Paul says, pray about it. Everything by prayer. Prayer is the answer to your worry. Can't tell you how many times I've been worried about something and there's nothing I can do to escape it because it's here. Man, I can say, Monica, I'm going to cut the grass to get away from this. But you know what happens is I'm out there cutting the grass, the worry does not escape. I can go to work, I can come here in my office and say, I got to get away from this worry, but it follows me here. I can go to bed at night and sleep and say, I got to get away from this, but it's still there. But you know what's so good about it? The Bible says there is a secret place. He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a secret place. Jesus calls it that closet that you can go to all by yourself, meet with God in private, and you can give to God every single thing that you have, cast all of your care upon Him, and the Bible promises if you do that, give it all to Him, the peace of God will come down to you. Jesus said, the Bible says, if you give me your care, I'll give you my peace. That is the greatest trade I've ever heard my entire life. I'll take your worry and I'll give you my peace. Let's trade. That's what God's asking today. Let's trade. Give it all to me and I'll give you my peace. Because even before we dissembled and weren't able to meet, you can see it on people's faces. Am I right? You can see it when people's worried about something. And it makes you absolutely miserable and you don't get to enjoy the life God gave you when you're worried about something. The Bible says to go to God about everything. Pray about everything. Let me tell you this story. Anybody heard of a man named Horatio Spafford? Kind of rings a bell. Sure Miss Nan has. Yeah, exactly. Horatio Spafford lived in the late 1800s. He was a wealthy lawyer living in the Chicago area. In 1870, he lost his son to the scarlet fever. Son died, young son. 1871, the Great Chicago Fire came and wiped out all of his assets. Everything that he had was gone. But you know what Mr. Spafford still had? Although he didn't have really his law, his building, and all that stuff, you know what he still had? His wife and his four beautiful daughters. And that brought him joy. Kind of sounds like Job, doesn't it? He had everything stripped away from him, but at least he still had his family. The great evangelist in that time, there's always been a great evangelist throughout time. The great evangelist during that time was D.L. Moody. Everybody's heard of D.L. Moody. Most of you have. He was doing a revival over in Europe, I believe it was, and Mr. Spafford was actually personal friends with Moody. And he said to his wife and his four daughters, let's take a ship, a boat ride over the Atlantic Ocean, and we'll go listen to Moody preach, because every time he preaches, God shows up. And where God is, that's where we need to be. Maybe He'll help us during this discouraging time in our life. The morning he and his family were supposed to get on board the ship and sail across the Atlantic, a business person called Mr. Spafford and said, we've got something for you here in Chicago. If you'll stay here for a few days, you can go be with your family later. Mr. Spafford said, all right, well, I'll stay. I've got some business to do. But wife and my four daughters go ahead before me. I'll meet you over there. His wife and four daughters boarded the ship. On the way, about halfway into the trip in the Atlantic Ocean, their boat struck another boat. And their boat sunk to the bottom of the sea. Nearly all people perished on that boat. But Mr. Spafford's wife survived. When she was finally rescued and come to a place that didn't have cell phones, telegrams. She sent a telegram back to her husband and said, saved alone. In other words, those words meant, I'm alive, but our four daughters are not. And for Mr. Spafford to go basically help his grieving wife, he caught the next ship over to meet his wife. And the story goes, as Mr. Spafford was on that ship and he was beginning to look over into the Atlantic Ocean, he came to the spot where they said that ship had collided with the other ship and sank to the bottom, and where his daughters had perished and drowned. Story goes that he took out his pen and his pad as he was looking at that water and said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford was the writer of that amazing hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. You see, it is times like this, that the circumstances on the outside did not change. But on the inside, Mr. Spafford found a peace that only the God in heaven can offer him. Can I tell you this morning, there's a God in heaven who offers you that exact same peace no matter where you are and no matter what you're going through. And can I tell you, for the past thousand some years, that song has encouraged and helped so many people. Out of that tragedy came that has been able to minister to hearts all over this world. There's a peace that God offers to us. And I can ask you to raise your hand, just the few of you in here this morning. How many of you have experienced the peace of God before? It's an amazing feeling, isn't it? Let me ask you this. How many of you are like me? Man, you go to church on Sunday, your preacher preaches directly to your situation, the choir sings, and God speaks to you, and you're thinking, boy, it sure is good to feel the peace of God in the midst of my situation. And you go home on Sunday afternoon, and you're thinking, God's got this, He's in control, I've got peace. But then Monday morning, you wake up, and you begin to think, God, what happened to my peace? Because it's gone. And you're right back to worrying about the same thing you worried about Saturday night. You had peace for one day and then it's gone. I can say this, there's nothing more peaceful to me than being in church. Amen. There's nothing more peaceful to me than having my eyes in this Bible every morning. And there's nothing more peaceful to me than being with God in prayer. And you know what I'd like to do? I would like to keep that peace. I'd love to keep that peace all the time. But you know what the Bible says? You can. We can keep that peace. That peace that you've experienced while you're sitting on a pew in church, you can take it out there with you, you can take it to your job, and you can have it all week. But there's something we have to do in order to keep that peace. Paul tells us not only how to get peace, pray about everything, but number two, in order to keep that peace, verse 8 tells us we need to ponder on the right things. We need to ponder the right things. Listen to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You say, why is it so important to think on these things to maintain peace? Because there is a devil that knows when we get peace, he wants to steal it right back. And in order to steal your peace, do you realize the first place he's going to go? Right there. That is the first place the devil goes every single time to steal our peace is the mind. And he wants to cast thoughts of worry, fear, and doubt. For if he can get in our minds and fill our minds with those thoughts, that peace will be gone in 5 seconds. Just like that. Because he's got into our mind and filled our minds with bad thoughts. One man said this, I'll never forget it. When a thought of that nature comes into your mind, you've got 5 seconds. You can either control it or it'll start controlling you. 5 seconds. That's it. You can either control that thought or it's going to start controlling you. You see, we can't control what comes into our mind. Impossible. You cannot control what comes into your mind, but what you can control is what stays in your mind. That's what we can control. I want you to picture this, if you can see it on the video. See this basket? Was this wicker? A wicker basket. It's empty. I want you to picture this basket is our mind. This is our mind. You can put in it whatever you want to put in it. This is our mind. You know what we like to do? None of us like to have our minds filled with fear, worry, doubt, and anxiety. They ain't one of us, is there? Do you like to have thoughts of fear, worry, doubt? Nobody does. Nobody likes to have those thoughts, but we do. So you know what we do? Come on, let's get them out. By the way, it is very hard to get paper out of a wicker basket. That's how hard it is to get these thoughts out of our mind. Look at this. I still can't do it. There we go. So we try, we say we need to get rid of these thoughts. But you know what we never do when we get rid of them? Replace them. We want to get rid of them, but when we do, we never replace them with anything. So you know what's going to happen? They're going to come right back in because nothing else is there. Let me tell you what we need to do. Not only get rid of these thoughts, you need to fill your thoughts with something else. Paul tells you what to fill it with. Verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. Every single one of those words describe one thing, this book. true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. You know what's going to happen? You start filling your mind with this book, look what's going to happen. It ain't got room in your mind. Doubt, fear, and worry will not have room in your mind if the Word of God is there. Because the Word of God will say, no, 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 no. You can't have those and at the same time have the Word of God. Amen. So don't just throw out these thoughts. I'm tired of them. I could stomp on these thoughts. Fill your mind with the Holy Bible. And by the way, there's a reason this Bible don't fit. Because you can't fit everything into your mind in the Bible. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Amen. I've learned illustrations always help me, and I guarantee you that's something you'll never forget, isn't it? Amen. Controlling our mind is not easy. One of the hardest tasks we have as Christians. But what makes it a whole lot easier is to be in the Word. That's what makes it a whole lot easier. To get peace, you pray about everything. To keep peace, you ponder about the right things. I've only got 2 points today, so I'm just about done. But let me tell you this. Paul said this in verse number 11. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Paul wasn't born with saying, I don't care what comes, I'm going to be content. Paul said, over time I've learned that no matter where I am, what's going on in my life, I have learned I will be content. Do you know where Paul was writing this letter? In a prison cell. It's hard for Justin to find contentment at home. Paul found it in a prison cell. You know why? Because contentment is not about where you're at or what your situation is. Contentment is about the person who is living on the inside of you that can give you that contentment if you'll just trust Him. Let me illustrate this for you. There was a king who offered a prize to the artist who could paint the best picture of peace. Everybody tried. The king looked at all the pictures, but there were 2 pictures that stood out to him. And he was going to choose between those 2 pictures the perfect picture of peace. This picture over here was a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror, for peaceful towering mountains were all around this lake. Overhead was a blue sky with white fluffy clouds. And everybody who saw this picture said, that looks like perfect peace to me. The picture over here had mountains too. But these mountains were rugged and they were bare. Above the mountains was an angry sky from which rain fell and lightning flashed. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a strong waterfall. People looked at it and said, that doesn't look peaceful at all. But when the king looked real close, he saw that behind a waterfall, there was a tiny bush growing in the rock. And in that bush, there was a mother bird that had built her nest, and she was just a-singing. There in the midst of the angry water sat the mother bird in perfect peace. Which picture you think won the prize? That one. The king said, I'm going to pick that one. And they said, why? He said, because peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise or trouble. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace. Hallelujah. Peace does not mean there won't be trouble. Peace means there's a God who lives on the inside of us. Then in the midst of that trouble, He says, I'm with you. He says, I got you. And He says, just trust me. That's the real meaning of peace. And I'm no fool today. You, whoever you are, you're listening. You're longing for peace. You've been longing for peace for a long time. Let me tell you, it won't be found apart from Jesus Christ. Do not go to the bar. Don't even try to find peace at work. You won't. Peace can only be found in the Prince of Peace. And that is Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, you say, I have Jesus, but I still don't have peace. Pray about everything. And then begin to fill your mind with the right things. Get in the Word of God. I'm not telling you this is going to work by the time 12 o'clock rolls around, but I am telling you the Bible promises you if you will do it, it will work. And I'm totally convinced of that this morning. Father, I pray for each person that is listening today. And they need peace. You know exactly where they are. It's not by luck or fate or chance that they listened this morning. But it was by Your divine appointment that they listened to Your message today. And You want to give them peace. And I pray today, oh God, that they'll apply the principles of Your Word. They'll trust You. And they'll find that You're a God that gives peace to whoever will ask. No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, You're a God who can just give peace despite whatever we're going through. So God, we want to thank You for being that kind of God to us. I pray for that one person who might not even have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, on the inside of their heart, and they're longing for peace. God, I pray that You will convict them of their sin, come to their home, show them that You love them, that You died to save them, and if they'll just call upon Your name, they'll find eternal life and the greatest peace they've ever found in Christ. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for being God. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Alrighty, well, I thank you for being here with us this morning. I told them last week, our church is happy. We've gotten out before 11 o'clock over the past month. Everybody's happy. But alright, well, I told you before the service that I'd tell you a little bit about next Sunday if you're still tuning in. Our plan, of course, is to meet next Sunday at 10 a.m. Now, obviously, that's subject to change depending on certain things. As much as I don't like it, as much as none of us like it, the Bible says that we are to comply with certain orders, as the Bible tells us to do in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. We obey the government when we can, but if they go against God's Word, we don't. We obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. So we're going to do everything in our power, not only to obey what our officials have told us to do, but we're also going to do everything that we can to obey God, no matter what. I don't know if any of you listening has noticed, but the world and the devil has an agenda to stop the gospel. The world and the devil has the agenda to stop the gospel. But let me say this. Stop worrying about the church. Stop worrying that the church isn't going to prevail through this. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. So don't put anything on Facebook about the church just ain't going to make it through this. Jesus already spoke, we are going to make it through this. The old timers used to say, just go to the back of the book. We win in the end. So we've got to persevere somehow. But as we move closer in the week, we'll get everything figured out and move forward with it as a church. The bottom line that I'm trying to tell you is when the opportunity comes and we do get to come back to church, planning on next Sunday at 10 a.m., I'm telling you everything's going to be ready for action. We've got people in this church working around the clock to make sure that everything in this sanctuary and everything around this church is ready when we do get to come back together. But as we move closer in the week, as I said, we'll get everything figured out. Listen, the bottom line besides that is we need to pray. We need to pray for our president and vice president. And as much as I don't like to say this, we need to pray for our governor. I'll be honest, I don't like him. I don't mind saying that. I love him because Christ told me to. And we pray for him because the Bible tells us to. We're to pray for him. We are. The Bible commands us to do that. And we are to pray that God would intervene in our situation. And I've told you already, don't be putting all this stuff on Facebook without praying about something. The main thing to do is go to God about it, not to everybody else about it. So pray not only for the leaders of our country, the leaders of our state, but also pray for the leaders of your church. If you don't go to this church, pray for your church. If you go to this church, pray for me as the pastor, pray for the deacons as we try to lead you through this situation that we're going through right now. So just pray. And as I said earlier, God is a God that is still in full control. And He's a God that's sovereign, and He's a God that we're going to trust all through this. And Jesus said, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. We're going to come out on the winning side, and God's going to start something great through this. I believe that in all of my heart. If we'll just stand up for Him, He'll stand up for us. But that's it. As we move closer in the week, we'll get everything figured out. So we do love you. I thank you so much for joining in here with us this morning. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope you have a good day. It's a beautiful day out there, so get out and do something today. And I hope you have a good week. We love each one of you, and God bless you.